This morning I want to preach a sermon I've entitled A Biblical Christian. You know, people define the word Christian different ways. If you look it up in the dictionary, it says it's one who professes belief in Jesus as the Christ or follows the religion based on his teaching. Others define the word Christian as little Christ or someone that's Christ-like. And parts of these definitions are good, especially the Christ-like, but if you really want the definition of a Christian, you need to go back to the Word of God. You need to go back to the Bible. And in the Bible, the word Christian is only used three times. And when you put those three verses together, it tells us what a biblical Christian is. Now, I know most of us here this morning are Christians. And so I'd like you to gauge your Christianity about what these three verses tell us. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you need to pay a special attention to point number one. Because you can be a Christian before you leave this place this morning. And again, being a Christian is not joining this church. It's not getting baptized. It's not taking communion when we take communion. All those are good things. But being a Christian means having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It means being a child of God. It means being a part of His family. It means having heaven as your eternal home. And I pray that before we get done, every single person in this room could stand and say, I know today that I'm saved. I am a biblical Christian because I have followed what these three verses have said or will set out to follow them as I live my life for Christ. The first verse I direct you to is Acts chapter 26, verse 28, a verse that we read a moment ago. Before I read it again, let me just remind you of the setting. Paul was standing before two rulers. He was standing before a Roman governor named Festus, and he was standing before a Jewish king named Agrippa. He had been arrested for preaching Jesus Christ, and he was on his way to Rome. He'd appeared before Festus before, there were a lot of Jewish people that wanted to kill him and get Paul out of their hair. And because he was a Roman citizen, Paul had appealed to Caesar. He said, I want to go to Rome. I want to stand before Caesar. If I've done something that's worthy of death, I will gladly die. The only thing he'd done was preach Jesus Christ. And the Jewish religious leaders didn't like that. And so they brought him before the world. They brought him before the Romans to try to put him to death. And so Paul used the system and says, I appeal to Caesar. And the Roman governor, Festus, says, okay, I'll send you to Caesar. But he had a problem. He didn't know what to charge him with. A Roman governor did not send a prisoner to the emperor without a crime that he could charge him with. And he had no crime to charge Paul with. And so when Agrippa, the Jewish king, came, Festus says to Agrippa, I've got this prisoner. Your countrymen, the Jews, want me to put him to death. He's appealed to Caesar. I'm going to send him to Caesar, but I have no charge to lay against him that will stand up in a Roman court of law. I need your help. And Agrippa says, okay, I will hear the man. And so Paul stood before these two kings and others in the court and gave his testimony. He said, I was a Pharisee. I lived as one of the strictest Jews there was. I did many things, he said, contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. I went around and I arrested Christians. I put them to death. I threw them in jail. I took them from their homes and burned them at the stake. But he said, I had an experience on the Damascus Road. I was on my way to arrest more Christians in Damascus when I saw a bright light. And I heard a voice from heaven. And that voice was the Lord Jesus Christ. I met him that day as my personal Savior. And then he says, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those with the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And then Paul turned to King Agrippa. and ask King Agrippa a question that every single person needs to ask themselves. Every single person needs to answer. He says, Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And then we come to verse 28. The first verse I point out to you that uses the word Christian, where Agrippa responded to Paul, he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You see, a biblical Christian is someone that's been persuaded of some things. They've been persuaded, first of all, that he or she is a sinner. They have been persuaded that they have fallen short of the glory of God. They have been persuaded that they're one of those sheep that have gone astray and turned to his own way. There is somebody that's been persuaded that when Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one, they've been persuaded that that verse applies to them. There's somebody that believes Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, applies to them. They have been persuaded, like the Apostle Paul, who said in 1 Timothy chapter 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see, until we are persuaded that we are a sinner, guilty before God, we have no hope of ever getting right with Him. And so I want to tell you this morning, you are a sinner. Not because I'm picking on you, not because I'm examining your life. I'm just telling you what this book says. This book says, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, we're all sinners. And a biblical Christian is somebody that's been persuaded that they are a Christian. They've also been persuaded that there is that God will punish sin, that there's a penalty for sin. They have been persuaded that Romans 6:23 is true, for the wages of sin is death. They have been persuaded that 2 Corinthians 5:11 is true, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, the terror of the Lord as he punishes sin. And we talked about it in Sunday school, that God is a God of love, but God is also a God of justice. And God cannot be God unless you look at both of those characteristics. Yes, he's a God of love. And some people say, well, God will never send anybody to hell because he loves everybody. And God does love everybody. And Brother Don and I talked after Sunday school this morning. God never sends anybody to hell. People choose to go there on their own when they reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, a biblical Christian, one that's been persuaded that they're a sinner, one that's been persuaded that God will punish sin, and then one that's been persuaded that Jesus came to pay for sin. When he went to the cross, hung on that cross, hung between heaven and earth, the Bible says that for a period of hours, the sun went dark. The Bible says that Jesus cried from that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know what was going on during that time? You know what was going on in those hours of darkness? God the Father, because he had placed on his Son every one of our sins, God the Father had to turn his back on his only begotten Son. The fellowship that they'd enjoyed for all eternity, the oneness that they had for all eternity, for those hours was broken by our sin. Not by any sin that Jesus committed. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Not for his sin, but for our sin. The fellowship between God the Father and God the Son for the first time in all eternity and for the only time in all eternity was broken. Was broken. And Jesus cried from the cross, not my Father, but my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, my friend, that's the punishment for sin. That's the penalty for sin. The Bible uses the word death, but it's not physical death. It's spiritual death. It's being separated from God. And when Jesus hung on that cross in those hours of darkness and God turned his back on his only begotten Son, the fellowship was broken, and Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sin and he paid the penalty for your sin. And a biblical Christian is one that's persuaded, that knows that he or she is a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, and that Jesus Christ paid the penalty. Persuaded of one more thing, that if we come to Jesus Christ and ask him, he'll save us. He'll save us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We labor, so many people labor, trying to earn the pleasure, the favor of God. So many people labor, trying to get on God's right side. It's not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. A biblical Christian is one that has been persuaded that all they simply need to do is come to Jesus Christ, admit they're a sinner, ask him to save them, and he will. He will. He will. I testify this morning, that's what he did for me. I was a sinner. I knew that there was a penalty for that sin. I knew that Jesus paid the price for my sin. And one day, down on my knees in my pastor's study, I told God I knew I was a sinner. I asked Jesus to be my Savior, and he saved me. He'll do the same for you this morning if he hadn't already. If you're here this morning and you've never been persuaded of those things, let me persuade you this morning, you are a sinner. There is a penalty for that sin. Jesus Christ paid it. And if you ask him, he'll save you. He'll do it. Would you be persuaded this morning? Would you come to Jesus Christ? Biblical Christian is somebody that's been persuaded, but it's also somebody who is performing. Performing. Say, preacher, you mean we got to work to get saved? No. There's no work involved in your salvation. When Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished," what he was saying is everything that needed to be done to purchase salvation was done. If you try to add anything to it, you are perverting the word of God. Nothing needs to be added to our salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then that verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, God doesn't just save us so that one day we can go to heaven. God doesn't just save us so that we can rest assured and know that our sins are forgiven. God saves us and then he says, I got a job for you. I got a task I want you to do. I got some works that I want you to do. And a biblical Christian, the second verse I would point out to you is in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, where the Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord, and much people were added unto the Lord, and they were called Christians because they were performing the same thing that Jesus did. Acts 11, 26 says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They were called Christians first in Antioch because you know what they were doing? They were spending their time, spending their energies, doing the same thing that Jesus Christ did. You see, Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. When Jesus was on the earth, he did a lot of things. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the hungry. He ministered to the poor. He comforted the brokenhearted. But that's not the main reason that he came. All those things were sort of icing on the cake. The main reason that he came was to seek out sinners and save them. And a biblical Christian is somebody that is performing the same thing that Jesus Christ did. They are seeking sinners and bringing them to the Savior. They are seeking out the lost and introducing them to their Savior. You say, preacher, I don't know how to do that. I've never had any training. I don't know. I know some people know the verses in the Bible that they can use to tell people that they're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin and Jesus paid the price. And if they ask him, they'll save him. I don't know any of that. Well, let me ask you something this morning. Do you know how you got saved? Huh? If you're a Christian, can you tell me how you got saved? If you can't tell me how you got saved, I worry about you. I pray for you. Every person who's a Christian ought to be able to tell me what they did to get saved. Say, yeah, I can tell you what I did to get saved. Then you can tell somebody else how to get saved. Because if it worked for you, it'll work for them. The same thing that you did is the same thing they need to do. It's not magic. It's not rocket science. God made it simple. The message that Adam is preaching to the kids in the back room is the same one that I'm preaching here. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed us from sins. And we just need to tell people that. We need to tell them that they're a sinner in a nice way. And tell them there's a penalty for that sin. And our Savior paid the price for them. And if they come, he'll save them. A biblical Christian is not only persuaded of those facts in his or her own life, but they are busy performing, telling others what Christ has done for them. There's a third verse in the Bible that uses the word Christian. This is one that most of us would wish that God had left out of the Bible. This is one that most of us would say, well, the other two are okay. I'd just soon not know about this one. But we believe in the whole counsel of God, so I'm going to give you this one as well. Third time that the word Christian is used in the Bible is in 1 Peter 4:16, where the Bible says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." You see, a biblical Christian, and I made it easy. I made all the words start with P. A biblical Christian is somebody that's persuaded. A biblical Christian is somebody that's performing. A biblical Christian is somebody that's persecuted. You see, if you're a Christian and you're performing, if you're doing what Jesus wants you to do, if you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's folks after you. The devil's after you. He lost your soul, but he'd like to steal your testimony. He lost the fact that you're going to go to hell and spend eternity with him, but he wants to make sure that you don't take anybody else with you. That's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He can't steal your salvation. He can't take your salvation, but he sure can lead you to mess up your testimony. The devil's not only after you, but so is the world. Jesus said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hateth me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." The world hates Christians that are busy telling other people about Jesus Christ. They hate us. They killed Christ. They killed his disciples. They are killing disciples in our world today. There are people in prison. There are people that are being tortured for their faith. And we say, well, we live in America. It'll never happen here. I wouldn't say that. It's coming. The Bible tells us it's coming. We're going to be persecuted for our faith. Not only do we have to fight the devil, not only do we have to fight the world, but we got to fight the old man that still lives inside of us. You see, I'm not going to get rid of that old. I got that old man when I was born. It's my sinful nature. When I got saved, I got a new man. I got a new nature, but the old man didn't move out. The old man is not going to move out until the new man moves to heaven and me along with him. That old man on that day will be kicked out. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 19, said, "For the good that I would do, for the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." He said, there's a warfare going on. I know what to do. I know the good to do. I don't do it. I know the bad not to do, but that's the thing I do. And these three forces, the devil, the world, and our old nature, are coming after us. They're trying to knock us off the track. They're trying to get us to quit doing what Jesus Christ left us here to do, to tell other people about him. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted the prophets which were before you." I was at the hospital on Friday afternoon visiting Brother Harry. I probably should have gone home and taking a bath before I went because we had to change our grinder pump out here on Friday after we cleaned the church. And I didn't get my hands or anything, but I smelled. I knew I smelled. I could smell myself. But that's beside the point. Harry, your dad was gracious. He didn't say a word. He just... But I was riding up in the elevator with a man, and I said, "Hey, I got something I'd like you to read," and I gave him a tract. He looked at it and threw it down on the floor. He said, "I wish you Christians would just leave us alone." I said, "Thank you." He said, "What do you mean, thank you?" I said, "Thank you. Bible says when I'm persecuted, I'm to rejoice, and so you just gave me a reason to rejoice." He got off. Didn't say another word. That's what God says we ought. That's what Jesus said we ought to do. When somebody persecutes you for your faith, when somebody reviles you or makes fun of you for what you're trying to do and telling them about Jesus Christ, Bible says, rejoice. That's what they did to the apostles. That's what they did to the disciples. They persecuted them, and they rejoiced. That's what we need to do. So let me ask you this morning. First of all, the most important question, have you been persuaded? Have you been persuaded that you are a sinner? Have you been persuaded there's a penalty for sin? Have you been persuaded that Jesus paid the price? Have you been persuaded that if you ask him, he'll save you? You see, if you've been truly persuaded of those things, you'll do it. You'll ask him to save you. Now again, I know most of us here this morning, we've been persuaded. We've asked Jesus to save us. He has saved us. All right, what are we busy about? Jesus said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Go ye to the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's what he wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do. It can be as easy as passing out a tract. It can be as easy as sharing your testimony. It can be as easy as inviting somebody to church and saying, "Hey, you're going to hear the gospel. Listen." If we do that, there's going to be folks that come after us. Satan doesn't like it. The world doesn't like it. Our old nature is even going to fight us. That's when we need to rejoice. We know we're doing the right thing. We know we're pleasing God when Satan comes after us. We were cleaning the church, and some of the men were talking about different things that were going on in our family. I think it was Brother Jeff that says, "You see, God can't get us directly, so he comes at us this way and this way and this way and this way." And that's what Satan does. He comes at us this way and this way and this way and this way. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get you off track. Trying to get you to stop. Trying to get you to just shut up and not tell anybody about Jesus Christ. Listen, there's a whole world dying and going to hell. We got the answer. And the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to proclaim him. We need to tell the world about him. Are you a biblical Christian? Are you? Let's be biblical Christians. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's in it. And I pray that there's just one person here that's never been persuaded of their sin, of the penalty for that sin, of the Savior. I pray this morning that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit would work in their heart and mind. And they wouldn't be like Agrippa that says, "Almost thou persuadest me," but they would say, "I have been persuaded." And they would come and ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior this morning. I pray for the Christians that are here. Help us to be busy about the thing that you left us here to do. Help us to be busy sharing the gospel with men and women and boys and girls. Thank you for the opportunity we had to do that this morning. And then, Father, when the persecution comes, as it will, help us to rejoice. Help us to rejoice. I pray you speak to our hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that there's people here that need to do something for you this morning, that you would give them what they need to do it. If they're not saved, they just need to come. We'll take the Bible and from the Bible show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. If they're Christian and you've laid on their heart to get baptized, you've laid on their heart to join the church, I pray you'd help them come in the next few moments. Be obedient to what you've told them to do. And we'll give Jesus all the praise. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.